This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. And before I dive in with all the fantasy stuff, let's get a word from the coach. My thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is also teed up at the Eagles Golf Club, 813-920-6681. If you'd like to play in the fun, affordable annual Movember charity event at the Eagles Golf Club this Saturday morning that I am supporting and playing in, hosting a putting contest before the event, email Courtney Fox, cfox@eaglesgolf.com, cfox@eaglesgolf.com. The Eagles is a semi-private 36-hole championship property in a gated community that will make you feel like a member for a day, and especially on a day where they host the Movember Stash Clash Golf Tournament coming up this Saturday. Keep them in mind just for casual rounds with friends as well. Call for tee times, 813-920-6681. As I told you with the last podcast, my travel schedule and the inability to travel with my podcast equipment would challenge me and likely cost me the opportunity to post a podcast on Monday. I said I would make it up to you, and I am doing that, although this will be a short podcast with this Tuesday podcast. As always, if there's anything you need from me that you consider somewhat urgent and you can't wait for the next podcast, you can always email me your questions. I do not set your lineups. I do not tell you who to pick up on waivers. I simply give you a second opinion. It is ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Use it this week, next week, any week, and every email has received a response all season long. So let me just run through a few things. Again, I have to keep this short just because I'm rushing to actually get you a podcast on Tuesday. The plan was actually I'd probably make one up to you on Wednesday, but I'm trying to get you something and remind you of the email and just get something there for you off the weekend, especially after a lot of garbage time fantasy points were scored over the weekend, particularly in the Sunday night and the Monday night football games. Hopefully you were on the right side of that. As an example, and this happens, I was on the wrong side of that, and it was basically some garbage time scores, like the garbage time Anderson touchdown catch from McCown against the Buccaneers that I knew would eventually cost me, and it did. It was the difference in a game where I scored over 100, and yet I lost to my opponent. It's the first time in our league that someone scored triple digits and actually lost, but I knew when Anderson hauled in that late touchdown against the Buccaneers, I'm like, that's something that's going to cost you. Kind of like a missed extra point used to cost you before the NFL moved it back to 33 yards. So quickly, let me just run down a few things. Again, I'm going to keep it short today. Full podcast coming up on Friday. Email is there for anything you need from me specifically as it relates to waivers, rostering players, upcoming matchups, trade offers, although you should be coming up on your trade deadline, etc. Email ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Also, please send me DFS questions. I am playing more and more daily these days. Played an afternoon turbo with just the 3-4 o'clock games over the weekend and got in the money. Jumped up a spot into another threshold. Speaking of garbage time, on an Orleans Dark, 2-point conversion, which were the last points scored and the last fantasy points of any significance in an otherwise finished Niners-Giant game. It really was a garbage time week 10 in a lot of cases. All right, so in no particular order, I had been telling you for weeks, for those of you that were owners of Ezekiel Elliott, that you needed to be prepared before the suspension actually hit. And if you didn't, it was your own fault. And similarly, if other owners were running out there and grabbing Darren McFadden, Alfred Morris, Rod Smith, there was going to be a huge gap between Elliott's production and anyone else's production. And that was exacerbated by the fact that the Cowboys' offensive line looked about as bad as it has in 5 years because they had no replacement of significance and gave no help to the Tyron Smith replacement on the left side. Those of you who are Dak Prescott owners were probably expecting a big game against the Atlanta Falcons. It looked like early on you were going to get one when Dak had a rushing touchdown. He's leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns. And then simply Dak was trying to avoid being knocked out for the rest of the season because they couldn't protect his backside in the blowout loss to the Atlanta Falcons. So for those of you who've been asking me for a while what to do, what do I do now that Elliott's suspended? I've given you that answer. And I told you it all along. Have a plan. Use them to help you win games early, and then make sure you have enough depth at running back so you're not just grabbing at other Cowboy running backs or grabbing for other running backs at the time he eventually does serve some games on the suspension. And the answer to the question of who was the right Cowboy running back to get once Elliott did go out, as I told you, it was none of them. Speaking of which, already getting emails about Jamal Williams and picking him up, or Perrine with Washington. Look, there are no saviors now on waivers, not going into Week 11. Now, sure, we do have some guys coming back from early injuries. We're keeping an eye on Greg Olsen. Keeping an eye out for Corey Coleman. I won't touch the Josh Gordon thing. I refuse to even acknowledge he exists for all of his transgressions and all the bullshit that he's been spouting about what he can do, and then he just goes away for another year. We're on this Dede Westbrook watch in Jacksonville for the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to think. There's someone else. I understand some of you who are, you know, meddling in your fantasy football leagues, but at this point, you know, these waiver wires don't look like the waiver wires of the first month or even 2 months of the season. So I apologize that I'm not giving you more, but I don't feel there's more there. The only one that I look at and say, maybe there's something there is Greg Olsen, but Olsen wasn't producing at career numbers at the end of last season in a disappointing year for the Carolina Panthers. And to expect big things from him when there are so many other, again, you should have addressed this by now. So for those of you thinking, well, I'm going to pick up Greg Olsen. Where were you the last 2 months when there were all these tight ends available on waivers? Why weren't you grabbing one? It's your own fault. Even as recently as, you know, guys like Evan Engram, who were sitting there on waivers within the last few weeks, albeit on a bad Giant team. You can be a bad wide receiver or tight end, or you can be a good fantasy wide receiver or tight end on a bad team. It's tough to be a good running back on a bad team. But tight end-wise, Olsen, I look at that and see he may have some value, but I think, again, you're your own worst enemy here. If you didn't pick up in what I'm calling the year of the tight end, where so many tight ends are producing at similar or bigger clips than wide receivers, as opposed to years ago, I think at this point in the season, it's kind of a mirage for you on the waiver wire. For those of you that have been frustrated by DeMarco Murray, I certainly hope you played him over the weekend. Maybe you had no choice because you had running backs on the bye week, because DeMarco Murray paid off. And as I've been saying, for much of the season on DeMarco Murray, you stay with him. As long as he's active, he is going to be someone in the mix who the Titans want to use. It is in their DNA to run the football, and he is their number one running back. And he had one of the biggest games over the weekend. In Washington, we've also talked at length about how really they're when it comes to the Redskins, I don't want any Redskins in my lineup. I rostered Chris Thompson for a few weeks earlier this year, and then I dropped him because the yardage wasn't there anymore in terms of the receiving. The Redskins gave him an opportunity to try and do something as a running back and actually carry the ball. Didn't work. And picking a Redskin wide receiver is very difficult to do. Kirk Cousins did it himself over the weekend. In the game against the Vikings, Kirk Cousins produced one of the biggest games for a quarterback this past weekend. And in the end, he did it himself. He had a couple of rushing touchdowns. This just shows the quality of player and how Kirk Cousins, just kind of like the Carolina Panthers do their winning under Ron Rivera in November and December, Kirk Cousins really revs it up this time of year. So when you look at all those points the Redskins put up against the Vikings, and you see how the Vikings got Diggs involved and Thielen involved, and Keenan had, what, four touchdowns, and it wasn't a McKinnon game, it was more of a Latavius Murray game, and on the Redskins side, it was just Kirk Cousins. Just Kirk Cousins. Still, none of those other Redskins really worth putting in your starting lineup. And as far as Jordan Reed, I'm over talking about that just because he's insignificant because he can't stay on the field. Just remember that next year going into your season-long draft. Robert Woods, this is a couple weeks in a row for big multi-touchdown games for Robert Woods as the Rams continue to win. And more importantly, the Rams are becoming a favorite team among those of us who like to play the NFL. You know, those of us keeping the NFL in business. We are the people that we were looked down on for years by, Can't acknowledge the gamblers, can't acknowledge the fantasy players. Well, guess who's continuing to watch the NFL and just about every game and news about the NFL and about every team? It's us, those of us that do play against the number, who play the totals, who play daily fantasy, who play in season-long leagues. Robert Woods, I even said mistakenly on Gil Alexander's VEASAN show on Thursday, I said, I get it if you wanted to pick up Robert Woods on waivers, but you might be chasing points. Well, it paid off. It's now been 2 weeks in a row. And the Rams are getting production from offensive people other than Todd Gurley. This season started with Todd Gurley, and then it was clear the Rams DST was worth picking up. I actually made the move 2 weeks ago from the Steelers, who I drafted in my season-long league. Did nothing wrong, but just really only gave me one big game, to the Rams DST, which I actually snuck in there in a game against Jacksonville about a month or so ago, just because the matchup was better. I forget who Pittsburgh was playing. Then I dropped them, then I picked them back up. But now we're to the point where, yes, Goff and Woods, and for those of you rostering Sammy Watkins and Cooper Kupp, You're starting to see some things trending in that direction where they may have some value for you down the road. Things are really falling into place for the Rams. And I mean, they're winning games by comfortable margins because of their overall setup. And there just seems to be a lot of confidence and enthusiasm around this Rams team. So for those of you that did pick up Robert Woods last week, or you had him before last week. Now, one of the things I said a number of weeks ago was, while Cooper Kupp was getting the red zone looks, just because red zone looks are great, but if you get a lot of red zone looks and you're not producing fantasy points, then it's not working. Dez Bryant's another example of that. Julio Jones's red zone looks are actually up, with Steve Sarkisian calling the plays. Is it working? No, it's not. So sometimes you have to look beyond that. Now, sure, one of my big complaints all the time on Keenan Allen is that he doesn't get the red zone looks. And that's led to what? One touchdown all year for Keenan Allen. But just because you get red zone targets doesn't mean it translates to touchdowns and those big six-point pops. Cooper Kupp hasn't made the most of that. But now as the Rams just get in these blowouts, these one-sided games, more and more, there are points to go around beyond just Todd Gurley and the Rams DST. That is becoming one of those offenses where you want to get a piece. It's not there yet, but because there's so much blowout potential in those games, and the Rams seem pretty shameless. It's not like they're running up the score. It's just guys are on the field like, I want to make a play. I want to make a play. It's like my longtime friend Jim Lighthall always said about, you know, a sport that used to exist that people cared about, baseball, when you had a big inning and everybody was literally jumping over each other to try to get to the plate so they could get a piece of getting a hit or hitting a home run or knocking in runs. That's what the Rams are becoming, that as the game goes on, more and more guys want to make a big play, whether it's the Rams DST, the Rams wide receivers, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff. It's just there. Finally, the Buffalo Bills. I made this analogy, and there's probably about five of you who can understand this. The Buffalo Bills a couple of weeks ago were sitting there at 5-2 and actually had, I think, no worse than the fourth best record in the National Football League. Fourth best record in the National Football League at 5-2. Now, for some of you, you're like, really? The Bills were 5-2? Yeah, they were. They were 5-2. They were 5-2 with a good pass defense, with an offense with a playmaking quarterback. Great, I'm not saying Tyrod Taylor is a franchise quarterback. No, but in a league where about half the teams could be want to do better at quarterback, Taylor's kind of on the front of that back end group, and he can make plays. And then there's Shady McCoy. So that's where the Bills were 2 weeks ago. And where are they now? 2 weeks later. They soiled themselves in a Thursday night game against the Jets. And then clearly ran out of toilet paper for the Sunday game against the New Orleans Saints, where the Saints ran, I believe, 24 running plays in a row. And at one point, one of the funniest highlights I've seen all year, Drew Brees went back to throw, couldn't find anybody open, kept the play alive, just rolling very slowly to his left, trying to find Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn, Alvin Kamara had come out of the backfield, someone, and he's rolling. And he's rolling, and he's rolling. And finally, Brees just is like, I'm tired. I'm just going to stick this ball out over the pylon and get it over with. That's how bad the Bills were. And they've been that bad the last 2 weeks. And there weren't even the garbage fantasy points in the game against the New Orleans Saints as there were the week before in the game against the New York Jets. So for those of you that were waiting to see, all right, so they get Charles Clay back. Now they add Calvin Benjamin, Deontay Thompson after 2 weeks. So what's really going to happen here now that they're on the field? Well, they all sucked. I mean, everybody for the Bills. I own McCoy. I didn't play him this last week off the dud game. I didn't buy the other fantasy experts who said great spot for a breakout against the Saints defense. Saints defense is significantly improved. This is no longer a plus matchup for any fantasy performer until further notice against the Saints defense. It is not. This team, as the Rams are rolling, the Saints really are rolling even more. There isn't as much blowout potential. Now, the Saints certainly blew out the Bills. That's one of the highest numbers of the year. But Right now, as far as the Bills are concerned, we're still waiting to figure it all out because they haven't shown any interest in really playing a football game to win it now for going on 3 weeks. Remember, my email address is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com for your unique season-long and DFS questions. I'll get you another podcast on Friday. This one was actually a little longer than I expected, but just because I'm passionate about what I do. And you guys have been very responsive to the podcast now for 2 seasons running. The Fantasy Football, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Find your location at originalhooters.com. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood, Hooters style. 12 Tampa Bay area locations. And for those of you around the United States, and for those of you who download the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast around the world, you know where your nearest Hooters location is, and it probably doesn't take much for you to think about it and figure it out. Also, I mentioned a little before the season began how some of the data we had on the podcast, I think this was back in July, was that the podcast for whatever that particular podcast was downloaded in 16 different countries. And I'm no longer surprised by the power of podcasts and the internet. Not a lot in life surprises me anymore as I get older, although still living the life basically as a glorified college kid that I've been fortunate to do most of my life with my lifestyle and the wonderful way I was raised by my grandparents and just being smart about some other things that I do. Not so smart about a few things here or there, but we've all made mistakes. I discussed this with a couple of my golf buddies when I told them we were downloaded in 16 different countries, and some of them said, you know, a lot of those guys might be military. I'm just looking for a little escape for a few minutes, and, you know, they like fantasy football, or because of my background in the Tampa Bay area where I'm always running into people who know me, who ask why I'm not on the radio on a regular basis, and I tell them, well, I'm kind of retired from that, and you know, this has gone on or this has gone on, but I really appreciate you, you know, recognizing my name or recognizing my voice. I ran into a really nice fellow Miami Hurricane fan at Publix in Palmasia the other day, Jose, that happened. But a number of military have come through the Tampa Bay area at MacDill over the years and might be familiar with my name or my voice. And if you fall into that category, and even if you don't fall into that category, my bad on Friday, not wishing all of you who have or are actively serving our country happy Veterans Day. And in a year of, look, fantasy football is all just fun and games, right? It is. It's all just fun and games. And maybe that's, I talk about how we are keeping the NFL in business. And there is some truth to that. But as it relates to, there have been a lot of, let's just say, negative distractions around the NFL this year that have hurt its bottom line, and one of them has been involving protests of the anthem. And I'm not going to go in depth on that, but it was nice to see that over the weekend none of that got in the way and was mistimed as it related to Veterans Day weekend and what was done by the host teams in the NFL. My grandfather served in World War II on an aircraft carrier called the USS Swanee. I'll tell a quick story that I think that I still find very funny. Very late in my grandparents' life, they would go to their reunions every year for those who served on the USS Swanee. So, and this was 55, 60 years later. So you've got some older men and women at these reunions. Well, I happened to be, big surprise, in Las Vegas at the same time my grandparents, the reunion that year was going to be in Las Vegas. It was at the Gold Coast Hotel over by the Rio and the Palm. So I was out there. I think it was covering a fight. Might have been Moore Holyfield 2 or something. And I said to my grandparents, I said, well, I'm going to, you know, I'll come over and see you on this particular night. My grandfather says, well, that's the night of the big dinner. So we'll all be having dinner in this big ballroom. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll find you. So I find the ballroom, and it's this huge ballroom. That's not the problem. These are my grandparents. They've raised me, right? So think about basically whoever raised you, your mom and dad, or your mom or your dad. And for me, it was my grandparents. And for some of you, it's an uncle or an aunt. And how you never think you can't place them. You never think that. They're there, right? It's the most easily recognizable person in your life, the person who raised you. I walk in this ballroom very confidently. I walk in, and then I backed up against the wall. And I never felt this way. And a busboy comes over to me and says, "Sir, are you okay? Can I help you with anything?" And I said, "I'm fine." I said, "My grandparents are in here sitting at a table somewhere, and everyone looks like my grandparents." And he's like, "Wow." He's like, "Well, good luck. Let me know if I can do anything for you." It wasn't easy to find my grandfather and my grandmother. I actually was just sort of wandering between tables. And then I hear my grandfather's voice, and I just hear him say, "Hey, there's my good-looking grandson." That's my grandfather, and my grandmother, awesome also. So yeah, my grandfather served World War II on the USS Swanee. Happy Veterans Day to my grandfather. Happy Veterans Day to everyone out there and everyone's families who have been involved in the military and are currently involved in the military. All right, for a podcast that wasn't supposed to be that long, this one was long, but you know, I tend to be chatty at times. Thank you very much for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you Friday.